You may be seated. Good morning. How many was here last week? Raise your hand. Excellent. This is perfect. So I was not here last week, but I know Brandon spoke. And since this is Sunday morning, Sunday school, we're going to do a recap. So someone tell me, what did Brandon speak on last week? Football. He did speak on football. He thinks the Lions are going to win. That's false. What else? You don't count. What else did Brandon speak on last week? What? His life. Okay. His shoes. I did hear about the shoes. Yes, the shoes fell apart after 11 plus years. Football. What else did Brandon speak on? Did I see a hand? It's waving. Okay. All right. So I did a quick recap. I wanted to make sure that I was prepared to follow Brandon up. And what he spoke on was, until he comes, that God has a plan for us to follow for our lives and that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? When they talked about the last days in Acts, you know, ever since I've been a kid, it's been, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. When I was in middle school, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And it's like, oh my goodness, I'm not even going to get a chance to graduate school and go do adult things. Well, I'm an adult doing adult things and Jesus hasn't come. And oh my goodness, I might not even get married. And now I'm married and Jesus hasn't come. And oh my goodness, I might not have kids. And I still don't have kids. But there's always that impending, oh, what if Jesus comes before this happens? Because we're in the last days. And I've been hearing that we're in the last days for over 30 years. And the last days are what we are in right now and have been for the past couple thousand years. When it was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it said in Acts, these are the last days. This is the ladder that we're in. So Jesus could come at any moment. That's what we're going to talk about today. Here comes the bridegroom. Dun, dun, dun. So let's turn to Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And like I said, this is Sunday school, so it's a class. So we're going to take notes and we're going to remember. And I teach in youth, so we take notes and we remember and we have a recap, and that's where I'm coming from. So, Matthew 25, 1 through 13, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered and said, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready with him, ready went in with him to marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So this is a parable that Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven, which is the church, where we are right now, saying, hey, I'm coming back, and be ready. So we're going to talk about a story about being ready. Okay, good. Pastor Phil isn't in here. So I was once a youth, a very small youth, and we used to have a lot of trees out in the parking lot. And me and a friend named Clee decided, hey, we're going to climb a tree, and we're going to hang out until this Link Rally, we were all going to board up in this bus, and we're all going to go to, like, Reedsburg or Dells or something like that. So me and Clee climb up into this tree, and we're hanging out. We're having fun. We're doing whatever boys do in trees, looking at ants or picking the tree apart or tearing off leaves or whatever. And everyone is loading up into these vans and getting ready to leave. And they're all in their seats and their seatbelts. And they've got their snacks ready for their long hike. And Clee and I are just looking at everyone. Aren't they so dumb? Like, they're in that hot van. They're probably all squished in there like sardines. Look at us. We're getting fresh air. We're, like, spying on them from our tree. Like, we've got it made. And then when they leave, they're going to drive by. And they're going to go, hey, Jordan, Clee, come down from the tree. And like, okay, we're going to come down again, tree and get in the van and go to the Link Rally. That's how it's going to happen, right? Because when you're 13, that's how your brain thinks. Well, they packed up their van, and they're getting ready to go to this Link Rally. And the van drives down from the carport and goes towards the exit. And I thought, Pastor Phil, yeah, he's joking. And it keeps going. And it's gone. And there were no cell phones. Well, I shouldn't say there were no cell phones back then, but I didn't have a cell phone back then. So, Clee and I are stuck in this tree. Alone at the church. Nobody knows where we are. Eventually, a call ended up being made from Phil to my mother, and it got found out that I was left in a tree. Do you think I got to go to the Link Rally that they turned around and picked me up? No. Nope. And I got sent home, and I was in trouble. I missed out because I wasn't ready. I wasn't in the bus with everyone else the way they should have. So, for those of you in here, I see Brooke is in here. Is Jay Henry in here? Jay? No. There have been some people in the church that I have tried to work out with. I've tried to work out with Jay. I've tried to work out with Ben Thompson. I think Brooke gave me a routine once, and I puked because I couldn't. Hey, there's Bryce. I've worked out with Bryce before. But I wanted to get bigger. I wanted to get fit because, you know, that's what men do. Right? I want muscles so I can lift things and look cool. Well, I have never been very consistent or disciplined with the muscles, as you can tell. And this last WYC, Winter Youth Convention, came around. And a buddy friend of mine, Nolan Rossing, said, hey, let's jump in this joust thing. And I'm like, all right, I got him. I'm in my 30s. I can beat Nolan. I'm smarter than him, and I'm probably as strong as him. Well, Jenna, you got the pictures? All right, so that's Nolan where I'm supposed to be, and that's me. Not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be knocking Nolan down. Do you have another one? Yeah, that's still Nolan in the white T-shirt declaring victory. And, yeah, that's me, shoved over there in the corner. That was the longest 2.5 minutes of my life. And my wife is the one videoing, so I got my princess watching me like, oh, he's doing a good job. No, I'm getting thrown around this ring by Nolan. Like, everything I can to just breathe at this point. Like, it's not even a matter of muscles and overpowering him. I've already lost that battle. I'm just like, I got to keep breathing so I don't pass out. I need oxygen, air. Why? Because I wasn't ready. And I wasn't prepared. That's okay. I didn't feel too bad because you want to go to the last picture? Ryan Rivas got his butt kicked by Nolan too, so I didn't feel too bad. So, but this year, I'm ready. Okay? But the time to work out and the time to do your cardio and do your bench pressing and do your dumbbells is not when it's time to jump into the ring with Nolan. The time to read your Bible and pray is not when that trumpet sounds. It's not when, oh my goodness, something bad happens. I should run to my prayer closet. Hey, that's good. That's great. But that's not the time that you need to be prepared. All 10 had their lamps. Okay? There's a bunch of people in church today. My father always used to say, how many have the Holy Ghost? How many does the Holy Ghost have? All 10 had their lamps. Only 5 were prepared with their oil. We need to be prepared to have your time in that prayer closet, to be reading your Bible, to be fasting, to be living a righteous life. Because when that trumpet sounds, or when you start going through something hard in your life, that is not the time to backpedal and be like, oh, I should have been praying about this. Life is going to happen. Life is going to keep moving, and life is going to keep progressing. And the one constant in life is change. Your life is going to constantly be changing. So, we must be filled with the Holy Ghost, but that's not our oil. Hopefully I don't get yelled at for blasphemy. That's not our oil. That's our lamp. You got your Holy Ghost. That's great. That is not your ticket. You hop on the train and you're there forever. You have to be filled with oil. Your lamp needs to be filled with oil. So let's run over to Matthew 7:15-20. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So that's great. We got our lamp. But in order to keep that oil full, we need to be bearing fruit. The Bible talks about how good trees are not going to bear bad fruit. If you are indeed filled with the Holy Ghost, living a righteous life, following the Bible, following God's plan for your life, then you're going to bring forth good fruit. Inversely, if you're not, if you look like this stout, awesome tree, but all you're producing is thistles and thorns and stuff that is not good to eat, it's going to show. So we got to make sure that we have our oil. We got to make sure that we have oil for people that come looking for it. Okay? The virgins that did not have the oil, what did they do? They turned to the virgins with the oil and said, hey, you've got it. I want it. Can I have it? Now, I'm taking a little bit of creative liberty here. Did they give their oil? No, they didn't. But they know where to get the oil. Okay? We'll come back to protecting your salvation and making sure that you're saved first. We're not talking about putting ourselves on the line for somebody else. But we're talking about being that example, being that light, showing forth good fruit, having something that somebody wants. Hey, you're different somehow. There's something about you. There's either a peace or a goodness. Why are you always showing up to work on time? Why are you always early? Why is your work ethic better than everybody else's? I told my cousin a while ago, he was stressing out about something at work. You know, I got passed over for promotion. I'm like, that's okay. That's fine. Eventually, the dust will settle. And it's my firm belief that Christians are natural leaders. You know, even if you just follow what's in the Bible, you know, show up on time, put forth a good product, you're going to set yourself above what society says is normal. Society is filled with, oh, you want me to do extra work? Pay me extra money. Now, I get, you know, holding out, or not holding out, but knowing your worth. But there's other soft things that you can do to set you above those who just want to clock in and clock out. Showing up early, being attentive, not having to be double backed on and be, hey, did you complete this project? Completing your projects on time. Communicating effectively. If there is ever a conflict, we Christians should be really good at conflict and be able to look at ourselves and go, hey, is the problem with me or is the problem with them? If the problem is with them, I'm going to pray for them. If the problem was with me, then I'm going to fix it. It should be really easy to set ourselves apart and show that we have good fruit. Good fruit that is oil that people are looking for. So, Matthew 28:19 talks about, go and make disciples. This is where they got the oil. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know where we got our oil from. Okay, our oil isn't coming to church and plugging in our church clock. Okay, I got to spend an hour and a half at Calvary Gospel Church and I'm good for my oil for the week. Our oil comes from Jesus. Amen? Amen. Our oil comes from Jesus. That's where we get it from. It's not from, you know, I read this book. You know, reading books are great. Advancing your education is great. Self-help books are great. But our oil, it comes from Jesus. that's where we need to be pointing to. So when they come looking for oil, hey, I got this awesome thing for you. It might be a little weird. Me personally, I'm not allowed to talk about religion at work, but hey, find me after work, or shoot me a message on Facebook and I'll get to you after work. But that's our key. And it might feel a little weird. It might be a little weird talking about God. Oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. Yeah, I am. Because I have an answer and you're looking for it. Because everything that you've looked for, you haven't come up with anything. Your lamp is still empty. You're still looking for something and I have it. So being ready. Being ready. We are to point them to Christ, but not sacrifice ourselves for them. The virgins never gave of their own oil. Okay? For those who don't know, I work in pre-hospital as a first responder, and something that they always teach, to the point where it's almost a joke, is scene safety. Make sure that your scene is safe before you go into something. We do not rush into a situation unless we are properly equipped to handle the situation. For instance, you wouldn't see a police officer running into a burning building. He doesn't have the right equipment. Conversely, you wouldn't see a firefighter running into a bank robbery. He doesn't have the right equipment. Okay? So it's about making sure that your scene is safe. You need to make sure that your oil is full to make sure that you are filled with oil before you can in turn help somebody else. This is not a fact, or this is not a situation where I'm just going to do the Lord's work, and I'm going to evangelize, and I'm going to disciple, and I'm not going to have time for personal devotions or personal prayer or Bible reading or fasting because I'm out doing the Lord's work. I'm running from this outreach to that outreach, and I got this Bible study at this time. Yeah, but where is your oil? If you're giving to everybody else and you're not keeping your oil full, where is your oil going? Okay? The Bible talks about this in Matthew 7. We can get caught up doing the work for God instead of doing the work of God. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Prophecy is a big thing. And in thy name have we not cast out devils? Casting out devils is a big thing. And in thy name have we not done many wonderful works? These are not small things that we're talking about. These aren't, you know, I did some sort of door knocking or I handed out a flyer. These are big things. Prophesying, casting out devils, doing many wonderful works. There are people that are going to be getting to the gates of heaven being, hey, look at all this stuff that I did. And what's Jesus going to say? Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Iniquity? I'm casting out demons. I'm prophesying. There are wonders happening. What are you talking about, iniquity? But where was your oil? You got the lamp. But where was the oil? I need to know you. I tell a funny story the other day. I was driving home, and there's these people, for some reason, that come through our neighborhood selling gutters and siding and a whole bunch of other stuff, and they're very persistent to the point where we don't answer the door. I'm driving home, and I see one of them parked outside my house, and he's knocking on the door, and I was supposed to be home at this time, and sometimes I'll come home with my hands full, and I'll need to knock on the door to have Abby let me in. And so I see the door open, and I keep driving, and I go around the corner, and I park, and I wait, and I'm like, he'll be gone in about 10 minutes, it'll be fine. But I say that to say, if you're a stranger, generally, if you're a stranger, you ain't getting in my house. Okay? If I know you, you can come in my house. You can eat my food. You can see Abby's Lego collection. Okay? But if I don't know you, if you're selling siding for the 15th time this week, you are not invited into my house. Jesus is the same way. If he don't know you, if you don't have a relationship with him, if your oil is empty, especially when he's given you everything that you need, he's not going to invite you into his house. Why would he? You're a stranger. You can do all these great things. I'm sure their siding is great. I'm sure their shingles are amazing. But I didn't know them. So if I would have answered the door, they would not have come in. So as you're marching to meet the bridegroom, letting others see your light, says they trim their lamps. Hey, we got to turn it up. He's got to see who I am. I've got oil. My lamp is trimmed. My light is shining. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, they put it on a candlestick and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is your oil. Your oil is not, okay, got the Holy Ghost. If it was that easy, okay, if it was, okay, I got the Holy Ghost, I got my oil, I'm good to go, then we would have a rapture service up here. It'd be like, all right, come down to pray, you got the Holy Ghost, shoom! It'd just be like a direct, like one of those things at the bank where you're just like sucked up into heaven. If that was your ultimate goal, was just to be saved, God, I just want to be saved, all right, you got the Holy Ghost, shoom! Whole bunch of Enoch and Elijah experiences here. But that's not the case. Our oil is making sure that we're showing good works, that we're pointing others to Jesus, to make sure we're following everything that this book says. Those that don't have a light, they might look to you. They are going to be the people that might not have it all together. They might smell a little funny. They might look a little funny. They might not look as put together as you might think. That's okay. That's okay. I don't have it in my notes. I don't have the scripture reference. But the Bible talks about there is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? He sent out a bunch of invites. And a bunch of people are like, nah, I got to bury my father. I just got this cow that I got to go and assess. I'm busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. So what did the bridegroom say? The bridegroom said, all right, go to the highways and the byways and grab everybody because my house is going to be full. The highways and the byways are not places to find nice people. Okay? So if you're looking for that super nice put together CEO or that bank owner, and this is who I'm going to reach out to, probably not looking in the right place. I'm not saying God can't save those. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're looking for those that are hungry and those that are hurting. Additionally, and this is a hard pill to swallow, hurting people hurt people. If you've got somebody who is mean to you, who is hurting, who just seems to walk into work or walk into wherever you are with a chip on their shoulder, that's who you need to be focused on. You need to show your oil, and that's good works, and that's righteous living, and that's being kind. I am so mean to you. Why in the world are you nice to me? That's my entrance. That's my point to say, hey, look, I got some oil. You should come and get some oil. Okay? So, having oil in your lamp, it's a lifestyle. It's not, okay, I'm filled up and I'm done. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of righteous living. It's a lifestyle of devoted living. It's a lifestyle of disciplined living. Putting the first things first. Bishop always said, show me your time and show me your money and I'll show you what your priorities are. If we don't schedule or carve out time for our personal devotions, or we don't schedule or carve out time for Bible studies, I'm just too busy. You know, I don't got time to do this. Then where are your priorities? Because when that trumpet sounds, that is not the time to say, hey, do you want to do Bible study? I need to fill my righteous clock. I need to fill some oil. That's not how it goes. That's not how the parable went. The call was made. And the foolish virgins were like, oh, we need oil. We're going to go get oil. And when they went to get oil, the bridegroom came and said, all right, y'all who are ready, y'all who've been plodding along, doing your daily devotions, witnessing, righteous living, you can come with me. those who are foolish? I don't know you. I don't. So when your bridegroom calls, it won't be something hard or difficult to do because it'll already be a standard of living for you. It'll already have become a lifestyle. I have an apostolic study Bible, and the words that they put in the study Bible for this passage were quite pertinent and really hit me in the heart. Those who are ultimately chosen will not need to change their behavior when the Lord comes, for their lifestyle will already have been a way of life characterized by readiness. So, the bridegroom is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? Do you have your lamp? Do you have your oil? We can all stand. I know I'm done a little bit early. Lord Jesus, I love you. I thank you so much for your sacrifice on Calvary, for the miracle and the wonder of salvation. Lord God, I pray that you would make my heart ready, that you would make sure that I have enough oil, that you give me opportunities to share your life, to share the gospel, to share your love and your grace and your mercy. Jesus, I pray that I would have the discipline to sit down, to pray, to fast, to read my Bible so that I can be ready. I want to be ready when you come back. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.